Turning your Bibles to 1 John chapter 1. And then we also want to look at Ephesians chapter 5. Every time that I go through 1 John, I'm always trying to figure out that book. It's on the one hand, it seems simple. On another hand, it seems so difficult. And I was telling Ann, I said, you know, I've been really studying that thing. And she said, well, I guess we're going to hear about that tomorrow. I said, no, you won't hear about that. I just really want to know what it is. And you're going to hear about it. You're going to hear about part of it anyway. 1 John chapter 1. Look at verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Now let me just make a comment about the first couple of verses here before we go to Ephesians chapter 5, and then we're going to come back. Our text is here. We'll stay in 1 John, but listen to this. When John opens his epistle and he says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word, capital W, of life. He's talking about that earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ where they saw Him, they heard Him, they touched Him, they were with Him, they handled Him. And He says that word of life, Jesus Christ, that life was manifested. He said in verse 2, we've seen it, we bear witness, we show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, was manifested to us. He's talking about Jesus Christ. And he's talking about that contact that he had with Jesus Christ. And now he's declaring what he saw, what he heard, what he felt to us. Okay? And he says in verse 5 that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. And then he says, if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. You see that? He's talking about that relationship they had with Jesus Christ. And he's saying, we're declaring this unto you, that you may have fellowship with us in verse 3. And our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, keep your finger there and go to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 and look at verse 8. And understand something about our relationship with darkness and light. Okay? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8, for you were sometimes darkness. That's what you were before you got saved. You were sometimes darkness. But now are you light in the Lord, because you're saved, if you are saved here today. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And then he says, watch it, have no fellowship. So he's talking about having fellowship with Jesus on the one hand, but over here he says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Interesting passages of Scripture here. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we ask You please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, help us all. Help me today, Father, how desperately, desperately we need You to help us in prayer today, because we have this great passage of Scripture here And on the one hand, it's very simple, very plain. On the other hand, it's very deep and very doctrinally intertwined with the church and even with some things perhaps to come in the tribulation. Father, we're asking you to keep it simple today. Minister great help to your saints and to your pastor, to the pastor that's here. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you will work through me in a way that everyone here, the folks and I, will know that you did something and I did nothing. Without me, you said you can do nothing, and we know that to be absolutely true. But Father, the folks didn't come for nothing today. They came to be fed. They came to enjoy you, to hear something from your words to help them. And I know, Father, by the preaching of the Word of God, the saints can be edified. The ministry, the work of the ministry can be perfected. You can be glorified. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you will please do a work that only you can do, even amongst those that are with us today that don't know Jesus Christ. We ask you, please, to save their souls. We ask you to do these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So when you read in Ephesians, Paul says, you know, you guys were in darkness, and then you got saved. Now you're in the light. Now you're in the light. And John says in his epistle, where we're reading, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. So Paul says, here's what I want you to do. He said, I want you to walk in that light. And John says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. This whole concept of walking in light and this whole instruction to walk in light, this whole passage of Scripture here has everything to do with the fruitfulness of our Christian life after we get saved, has to do with the joy of our Christian life after we get saved. Look in 1 John chapter 1. We're not going to go back to Ephesians 5. You can let it go now. Free up a finger. Free up a paper. Free up a pencil. Look at that. In 1 John chapter 1, look at verse 4. These things write we unto you that your joy may be full. That your joy may be full. He's writing some things here. He said, man, I'm telling you guys, he said, when Jesus was here, he was the Word of life. I saw him. I handled him. I heard him. I was with him. I had fellowship with him. He's now gone. He's ascended up into heaven, but you're here, and I want you to have fellowship with him the way we did. That's what he's saying. He's saying in verse 3, that we which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. He said, I want you to enjoy the same thing that we have enjoyed. And so He gives us instruction. There's a lot of things He gives us in 1 John, but He gives us instruction in 1 John on some simple things that we can do to be able to have that fellowship with Jesus Christ, to be able to walk in that light, to be able to have that joy that is full in our relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we're going to talk about those things today. We're going to talk about them in this concept, in this theme. And that is joy, the joy of walking in the light. The joy of walking in the light. That's what we're going to look at. Because, you know, when you first get saved, if you remember that time, it was a very joyous occasion. Some of you cried. Some of you had a beaming smile on your face that, you know, just wasn't kind of come off. And not for a little while. It was really a grand thing that happened to you because you knew your sins had been washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You knew that Jesus Christ had made you free. And it was a wonderful day. There was a peace that came over you and a joy. But you know what? You still live in this body, and though there's a Spirit of God in there, you still got to duke it out with the world, and there was a job still to do, and a family still to raise, and a wife still to keep happy, and children still to fuss with, and all those other things. And after a while, some of that joy of that salvation kind of rubs off, kind of like maybe 2 days later. Some of you remember back to that honeymoon that you had. Y'all did have a honeymoon, probably. That's been a long time ago. And it's funny, you know, they say when you get ready to get married and they talk about how much fun all that's going to be, they say, yeah, but that honeymoon is going to wear off. And then you're going to have to get down to living. Well, you know something? In Christianity, it's the same way. Because now we wait on the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We wait and we go through life and there's an adversary and we're tempted and we have all these things that we have to deal with. And so it would be nice to know about that joy of walking in the light. Because what happens after you get saved and some of that, really wonderful, I'm ready to go to heaven feeling is gone. There are things that absolutely start pulling you back toward the darkness that you came out of. That's why Paul said, awake. Get out of that. He said, awake. There's some of that stuff in that darkness that starts drawing on you again like that. And what happens is that you get just enough of that darkness that when the light of God shows up, it's like somebody waking you up at 3 o'clock in the morning when you've been asleep and they turn the lights on. Boom! You're like, oh, turn off the light. And you don't see much joy in walking in the light, not when somebody has just aroused you out of a sleep in darkness. I remember when we were kids, we would work at the ranch in the summers, and boy, there were some of those mornings when 5 or 5:30 would come in the morning, and I didn't, that's the last thing in the world I wanted to do, and my uncle would come in, flip that light on, time to get up, man, oh, get out of here. You may be my uncle, but I don't like you. I don't even love you. Ugh. And the same way, that happens with the Lord. You get into a place where that darkness starts working on you like, joy? You talk to a guy that's tied into the world, that's not saved. You say, you know what? There's a lot of joy walking in the light with Jesus Christ. He doesn't see that at all. He thinks you are crazy. He prefers the darkness of a dark bar and a bottle of beer. Or whatever he's into. Or a dark movie theater. Or, you know, he's into darkness. And the Bible says they are into darkness like that. They love darkness because their deeds are evil. They don't want any light. So there may be somebody here today who said, man, the last thing I want is any light on my life. But I'm going to tell you something. When you get over the initial shock of, boom, the light's coming on after darkness, and your eyes adjust, it sure is nice to have that light. You can work by that light. You can read by that light. You can cook by that light. You're right. You need that light. You don't stumble into furniture in that light. You know where you're going in that light. You're thankful to have it. It's just that there's sort of that initial shock getting back into the light after you've been out of it for a while. So let's talk about what it's like when the initial shock is gone and you're in there. The joy of walking in the light. I'll tell you how to get it according to this passage we're looking at. Verse 3, first of all, is to have fellowship with Jesus Christ. John knew that. He said, that which we have seen and heard and declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. That right there is that's how you have joy of walking in the light, is to have fellowship with Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus Christ, listen, John saw Him, he heard Him, he touched Him, he looked at Him. You can't. You cannot experience Jesus Christ with your senses. Your eyes won't behold Him, your ears won't hear Him, your hands won't handle Him, you can't smell Him. But you can have fellowship with Him. And the thing is, He wants to have fellowship with you, but that fellowship that you have with Him is spiritual. The Bible says God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And so what God did when He saved you, what He did when He saved me is He regenerated our spirit that was dead and gave us the Holy Spirit. And right now, with us and the Holy Spirit, we can have fellowship with Jesus Christ. You say, how do you know that? I had fellowship with Him this morning. I'm having fellowship with Him right now. Believe me, there is really a supernatural work that takes place in preaching, but the last place on earth that I would want to be if I wasn't in fellowship with Jesus Christ is behind this pulpit with the responsibility of feeding you something from the Word of God. If I hadn't been with Jesus, this would be a miserable place to be. But boy, after you've had some fellowship with Jesus Christ and He's shown you stuff out of the Word of God and put things together in your heart and in your mind and in your very spirit to speak to other people, to be an encouragement, a help, a directive to them, man, what a privilege, what an honor, what a glorious place to be. Right now, at this hour, at this time, there's no other place I'd rather be in the world than right here, right now, doing what I'm doing with you, knowing that God, because of the fellowship with Jesus Christ, has given me something by way of light to help you. That is a tremendous privilege. And you know something, yesterday, you know how all of our lives, we have so many things that go on. But yesterday, I had a number of things that could be done, and I started out the day in a certain way, like I do with reading and then spending some time in prayer. And, you know, just the whole day was kind of like that. We had this and that to do, but very little other things that I could have done. Just was really enjoying time, spent a lot of time, and had been for a good bit of time getting up to this, just going over these verses again and again and in 1 John and late into the evening and woke up early this morning, same thing. And I'm going to tell you something, man. There's nothing I'd rather do than that. Some children, some boys of a preacher asked their dad one time, said, "Hey, Dad, well, I want to ask you something. If you had the opportunity to go listen to your favorite preacher or go to the Super Bowl, which would you rather do?" He said, "I'd rather go listen to the preacher." He goes, "Oh, come on, Dad. Listen, if that preacher that you like so much was preaching 100 miles from here and the Super Bowl was 15 blocks from the house, you'd rather go to the Super Bowl, wouldn't you, Dad?" And he said, "Nope, I wouldn't. I'd rather go listen to that preacher preach." Now, you say, "Well, I wouldn't." But you know why? He told his son, "I'll tell you why." He said, "There is nothing like being in a church service where a man has spent time with Jesus Christ and spent time in His Word, who's filled with the Spirit of God, who's come up with something to feed us, who can speak to me for God and address my soul." He said, "There's nothing on earth to compare with that." And I agree with him 100%. How great it is to be able to have fellowship with Jesus Christ. Listen, you can walk with Him. You sing a song. And He walked with me and He talked with me. You know, in this passage, we're not going to turn there, but he's writing to young men, he's writing to children, he's writing to fathers. And he says, "The reason I'm writing to you, fathers, you've known Him." That's what he said. "You've known Him." If I ask you if you knew somebody that was famous, if you knew of them because you'd read about them a little bit, and you say, "Sure, I know who that is, that's so-and-so." But that's not like knowing him the same way that his family knows him. That's not like knowing him the same way that his very best friends know him. And there are a lot of people that know about Jesus Christ, but they don't know Jesus Christ because they haven't spent any time with him. You know something? Very honestly, in life, you're going to meet people that you're going to like and you're going to form new friendships. We'll talk about this in just a minute. But let me just tell you something. No matter what you're doing in life, when you have fellowship with Jesus Christ that is so close, so consuming of your heart and your mind and your spirit all the time, anything that draws you away from that, you avoid. So you can stay in fellowship with Jesus Christ. And anything that promotes that fellowship with Jesus Christ, you're attracted to. When you're getting backslidden, you know what's the first thing to go? Your fellowship with Jesus Christ. You start going, because He's light. God is light. In Him is no darkness at all. And when that light starts getting dim like that, you know what's happening? Your fellowship with Jesus Christ is breaking off. Until you get actually comfortable in the dark, you don't want to see that light. It's too bright. Man, that is a dangerous place. God help us all. I do not want to be there. I've been there. And I do not want to go back there again. Stay in fellowship with Jesus Christ. That's how you have joy walking in the light. If you're constantly in that light, that doesn't bother your eyes. Matter of fact, you look forward to it in good fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Then I'll show you another thing he says here in verse 3. "That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with" whom? With us. There's joy of walking in the light, How? By having fellowship with believers. People that really, you know something? I'll tell you one place right now I could not stand to be. I could not stand to be in a church where the people don't believe that book and don't believe Jesus Christ. I would absolutely be miserable. Recently I went to a funeral, and it was an Episcopal church, and it was a good friend of mine that had passed away, so I wanted to be there, obviously, and as much to pay respects as also just to be a comfort to the family. And I am telling you, the parts that were said about my friend that passed away were great. I mean, I said really wonderful things said about this person, about this lady that passed away. And I said to her granddaughter, I said, you know something, I'm going to tell you, you did a great job, but it's not hard to do when you don't have to make things up, when everything you're saying is true. Well, those were delightful. It brought back some good memories. Great to hear that. I am telling you what, boy. That person got up there and started, took that, what he wanted to call scripture, and started to, oh my goodness. It was like blasphemy. I couldn't stand it. And I thought to myself, can I imagine being in a church this morning where people are blaspheming God, making people bow down to a piece of bread and calling that my Lord and my God? I would run for the hills. Where the Bible is open, it's not even believed to be the Word of God, where the people are there and don't even have a Bible, don't even care. I'd be miserable in there. But you know where I'm happy? Right here. You know why? Because a big old bunch of you believe that book. And you believe the Lord Jesus Christ, and you love Him, and you love those words, and you spend time in those words, and you have fellowship with Jesus Christ. And when we bump in together, I'm telling you, man, that excites my soul. After the funeral, we went to the reception, and we were gathered together, and there were lots of folks there. And there was a fella that walked in that I have not seen in, whew, how many years? 20? Probably 25 years ago. This guy was lost 30 years ago, somewhere in that time frame. He was lost. We were friends. And I would talk to him from time to time about Jesus Christ, and he didn't want to hear it. He didn't want to hear it. One day he called me, he said, you know, I want you to come over and I want you to tell me more about Jesus Christ. I said, okay. He said, now if you say anything that offends me, we're done. Okay. Wise as serpents, harmless as doves, right? We got 2 hours. I know you can't believe that. Finally, he asked me a question that if I answered honestly, I knew the answer would offend him. And I wasn't going to lie to him. So he asked me the question. I answered him honestly. I said, he said, well, I guess that's the end of this conversation. I said, oh, it's okay. It's fine. Later, he got saved. A mutual friend of ours, after he got saved, also got saved. I don't know how old this guy is. They were both older than me. But I hadn't seen this fellow that I'm telling you about in a while. But let me say that after he got saved, so yeah, that was, wow, that's a long time. That's 30 years ago. So after he got saved, he and I got together while I was in Bible college. Now, let me help you to understand this. He was staunchly religious. Staunchly religious before he got saved. Wouldn't even consider anything but his religion. We got together and we're sitting on the tailgate of a pickup truck. He says, you know, I'm a 3-timer now. I said, a what? He said, I'm a 3-timer now. I said, what's that? He said, Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday night. I said, seriously? He said, yeah, I'm going to a Baptist church now. We're raising money right now to build a church in Mexico. I said, but they're all the same religion you were. He goes, yeah, there are a lot of those lost Catholics down there that need to be saved. I said, wow. He said, that's not all. He said, I'm reading the King James Bible now. I read it through cover to cover twice every year. Going to men's Bible study. I was blown away. Man, we had good fellowship, and he and I rejoiced so much when our mutual friend got saved a few years later. I'm there at this reception, and I'm thinking about what I've heard and greeting these old friends of mine, and I look up, coming through the patio, through the plate glass windows. Here he comes. I hadn't seen him in 20 years. Walks through the door. I took his hand, and I am telling you something. I kid you not. There was a sweetness in that fellowship that he and I were enjoying because of our mutual trust of Jesus Christ and our mutual love for the words of God that transcended every other friendship that was in that room. I was so glad to see him, still living for the Lord. We were talking, and just in the course of the conversation, he's not trying to do, he says, yeah, he said, what? He said, I just didn't fear God. He said, you know, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. He said, it's the beginning, the middle, and the end. It's everything. And I'm like, wow, I'm loving this. We're going to spend eternity together in heaven, in fellowship with each other, and in fellowship with Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, that did me so much good. I was so thankful to be able to have that time. What am I saying? God's people are the genuinely best people to be around in the entire universe. God's people who love Jesus Christ and who love His words. That's why I like being here so much with you. You know something, if you're not comfortable here, I'll tell you what the problem is. You haven't learned to have joy, the joy of walking in the light. That's right. Boy, when you find that joy of walking in the light, this is your crowd right here. I don't mean just this church. There are churches like this all over the United States. But that's your crowd. That's who you want to be with. This is where my friends are here. There's another way to have joy of walking in the light. Look down here in verse 7 again. He says, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say, we haven't sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. You know what he's showing you there? There's joy of walking in the light when you stay clean from sin. When you stay in fellowship with Jesus, when you stay in fellowship with the believers, and when you stay clean from sin. I can't think of anything that brings darkness back into your life more than getting back into sin. And he says, what happens is, he says, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Just for curiosity, look at verse 6. I want to just look at that again. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie. You see that? You know who knows whether you're having fellowship with Jesus Christ? He knows. And He knows whether who has sin in your life. You know who knows whether you got that? He knows. He knows. Yes, He does. He sure does. And you say, well, I'm not sinning. He's over there going, come on, man. I'm the one that wrote the book. Don't kid me. Let me ask you something. Over time, the closer you've gotten to the Lord Jesus Christ in your spiritual growth, have not things shown up to be sin in your life you had no idea were sin when you first got going? Oh, man. Absolutely. So, as you're going through life in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ and in fellowship with your brothers in Christ, you're going to be tempted to sin. Those things, for a lot of you, are just they're inside. They're nobody else would be able to see these things. They're sins of the spirit and of the heart and things like that. Greed, bitterness, envy, lust. Things that over time will manifest themselves, but at first may not be so obvious. And I'm going to tell you, they will drag you into darkness. And once they get you there, they'll kill you. And the thing you want to do is you want to stay as far away from that stuff and as quick to confess sin as you possibly can. Confession of sin basically says, hey, Lord, man, you got me. I know this one is wrong. Let me give you an example. Let's say that you're living at home as a young person and you have done something you don't want your parents to find out about, and they ask you, hey, were you doing that? And you say, nope. Uh-uh. Now, you know what you're doing? You're hoping that they will never find out that you just told them a lie. Correct? You're hoping that. And so sometimes you even have to lie again, maybe even lie again, to keep covering that first lie that you told. You've been there. The Bible says all men are liars. Come on, you've been there. They compound themselves over time, right? Let's rewrite the scenario. Let's say that your parents knew that you were there, but they're going to find out whether you're honest. They say, hey, were you there? No! Well, Billy Bob was there. Uh-oh. So let me ask you again, were you there? I don't think so. I can't remember. It's been too long ago. I know it was this morning. Well, I was pretty tired. Come on, you know? Now watch this. Here's confession of sin. Hey, Mom, Dad, before you ask, I just wanted you to know I was where I wasn't supposed to be. That's what confession of sin is. It's you don't wait till you get caught. You did it. You realize what you did was wrong. You come to the Lord and say, Lord, I just want to acknowledge before you what I did was wrong. And He says He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And the light stays on bright. And there is joy in that. Listen, I'll show you the joy. Were you there? No. Next day. Are you sure you weren't there? I'm sure I wasn't there. Next day, well, we were talking to Billy Bob. Ugh. Well, you listen, best of my knowledge, I wasn't there. Well, I got a picture here on... Okay, now there's going to be a punishment for that, right? The consequence for sin. And that punishment is going to be pretty bad because... it was compounded with several lies, a lot of denials, and then the proof came out, and you're like, man, I'm busted. All right, that's one scenario. Here's the second scenario. Were you there? No. You sure you weren't there? We were talking to Billy Bob. Oh, busted. Yeah, I was there. Okay, that punishment's going to be bad too. But you know what? I don't think it's going to be as bad as the first punishment because you kind of came around early. Right? Hey, Mom and Dad, I just wanted you to know something. That was where I wasn't supposed to be. She might cook you a steak dinner. I mean, after she gets her jaw up off the ground. You see how that is? When you confess sin like that, what's happened is you've sweetened up that fellowship again, and there's joy in walking clean with Jesus. You know, if you've been out sinning, I'm talking about stuff where you could get caught, and then you come in here to church and you hear a sermon like you're squirming in your seat. Good night, man. I can't believe it. Listen to him, and I don't ever want to be here again. But if you got all that taken care of, and I'm over here preaching on sin and this fellowship of Jesus Christ and the joy of walking in the light, you're over here going, man, I tell you what, it is fun being in the light because everything between you and God is clear. There's nothing between. My soul and my Savior. Clear. Listen, you're married, many of you. And you're going to have spats. That's marriage. I'd have thought marriage was something else. It's not. It's just two people surviving their spats. Having joy making up, you know, and all those kind of things. It's just part of life. We all go through that kind of thing. But I'll tell you what, they always say it's sweet when you make it up. And it really is. Because we're not perfect, you know, and you got two people that are very different trying to survive under the same roof and learn to thrive, and they thrive under the same roof. And when you bump into each other, you go, I'm sorry. And that just keeps everything sweet. Same way it is with Jesus Christ. When you cleanse that sin through His blood, it just keeps everything sweet. There's nothing to hide. Boy, but I tell you what, if you've been a rascal, you've been taking money out of the joint account she doesn't know about, and you've been doing things outside the house she doesn't know about and all that kind of stuff, whoo, you get a little shaky around there. You know what? You just kind of avoid any conversation that has anything to do with any of those subjects because things aren't right between you. What's in the middle? Sin. Here's something else. Jump way ahead. Look at 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. See how distinct they are? Not of the Father, is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. You want to have joy of walking in the light? Just walk totally in the light. In other words, stay separate from the world. Stay separate from the world. Let me give you a picture here. Let me have Philip and let me have Ricky. I'm always picking on the front row, guys. I'll go back to the third row. Hurry. Okay. Now, over here is the world. Love not the world. Over here, this is... This is Ricky. No, this is that cleanse from sin. This is walking in the light. The world is darkness. The whole world, the Bible says, lieth in darkness. Over here, this is that light and that fellowship of Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you what, in this room right now, this day, at this moment, there are a lot of people that are living two lives. They are. All right, stay right where you are. You came in this morning. You go with me, okay? Don't make this hard. Okay, let's go. You came in this morning and you're like, Me and God. Yeah, we sit down here together. We're having ourselves a real time and that kind of thing. Church is over. Nice to see all of y'all. Boy, this is a great time to see you back here at Easter. And as soon as you get in your car, come on, dude. You say, how do you know that? Just let me get in your car with you and turn your radio on. Let me go home with you and turn your television on. See what you've been listening to, what you've been watching. Let me go with you when you go to with your friends this week. Just so I want to be with you. And that's what, and you're telling God, you know what? Wait till Sunday. And we have all, man, we're playing, yeah, oh yeah, come on, man, yeah, well, we're having a great time, yeah. I got to go to church. I'll be back. How y'all doing? Oh man, yeah, we love Jesus. We're in, baby. We're in the light. Yeah, we're tight. Tight in the light. See my joy. Church is over. See you at Christmas. Come on, baby. Let's have ourselves a time. Woo! That's how you're living. And you know what you can't find when you live like that? Thank y'all did a pretty good job. You don't have joy in either one. You can't really live it up over here. And you can't really get the blessings of the hymns and the preaching over here. You're just torn. Back and forth. You know what he says? He says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. Don't love that. That's not of the Father. That's of the world. World passeth away and the lust thereof. So what did he say? He said, love me. Now you're going to have to make a break with some things right now from which you are deriving pleasure in order to find out that there's joy in this. And I'm going to tell you, when you make your break from the things that have been giving you pleasure right now, you're not going to find immediate joy in the light. Because you're coming out of darkness and the bright light is like, whoa, turn it down. But God can't turn down His light because in Him is no darkness. So you have to endure that period of transition into that light where finally you're over here and going, you know what, I'm kind of liking this stuff. This is all right with you. I'm sorry I left you for Christmas and Easter. Let's go on St. Patrick's Day. This is great. And the next thing you know, let's go every Sunday. And the next thing you know, let's go. Don't they do church in the evening? Let's go back. You see what happens? That thing starts really warming up for you. There are some people here today, I'm one of them, who can tell you without any apology whatsoever, without any hesitation whatsoever, there is joy in separating from that world and walking in that light of Jesus Christ. But you got to cut the ties. Cut the ties. People say, well, I'm hell with the cords of my sins. Cut the ties. Cut them. Cut them. And quit living two lives. Because you got to pretend to the world that you're really enjoying this. And then you got to pretend to God that you're really enjoying this. I'm tired of pretending. You know, you can't pretend when you're in the light. Everywhere you go. If you look the wrong way, God sees it. But you're like, you know what? Caught me looking, didn't you? But I didn't go. And he goes, yeah, you didn't. Good job. And there's joy in that. So much joy in that. Now, I have to conclude it this way. Look in 1 John chapter 3, verse 23. The Lord said, I'm going to give you some commandments, and basically that's to love God and love your brother. But look what he says in verse 23, 1 John 3, 23. We're going to end right here. This is the commandment, that you should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave His commandment. That you should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. This entire message, I've been talking to people that have already done that. You already believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, you can't walk in the light if you haven't trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. What I'm telling you about is something you can look at from a distance. You're like on one side of the Grand Canyon. All of us are on the other side of the Grand Canyon going, man, it looks like it's kind of fun over there. It is, but you got to cross the canyon. You say, well, I can't. But when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, He takes you out of the darkness and He puts you into light. Those of us who are already saved, we need instruction on how to stay in that light and find joy walking in that light by having fellowship with Jesus, by having fellowship with each other, by separating from the world, by staying cleansed from sin. You're going to find joy walking in the light when you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Remember how I started the message? I said to these folks that are gathered here, oh man, don't you remember the day you got saved? I remember the day I got saved. One of these days, my memory is going to slip and I won't remember what happened yesterday, but I remember what happened a long time ago, and that'll be a good memory to remember what it was to get saved. You got a choice here today if you're lost, to stay in darkness or to come into the light. To be translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. Kingdom of darkness is ruled by the devil. The only light in that kingdom is artificial light. The king of that kingdom is the angel of light, and he is a counterfeit. He's transformed himself into an angel of light. But he and everybody that follows him is going to wind up in a bottomless pit or in the lake of fire. The Bible says, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Everybody that decides they want to stay in that darkness, they end up straight in hell, in the lake of fire, and burn forever. What a tragedy. The people that say, the Bible says they're cast into outer darkness. It's just artificial light. You break with that, trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, you come into a kingdom of light, and there is a joy in this, in fellowship with Jesus, in fellowship with the believers, in being cleansed from sin and being separated from that world that I cannot describe. Paul couldn't even describe it. He said it was a joy unspeakable and full of glory. Or Peter said that. He said, I can't even put it in words. And I can't really put it in words. Somebody says, well, how good does it feel? I said, just get in there and find out for yourself. You'll know. But you'll never know if you don't get saved. You say, well, how do I get saved? I'm glad you asked that question. I'm not going to answer it for you right now. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. If you're in darkness and you want to be in light, when we close this service, our associate pastor, Randy Knuppel, is going to be standing back there. And you say, you know what? I got to get out of this darkness into light. Fine. Go back there, get with him. He'll take you back to the office. He'll open up. He'll show you the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. What, 5 minutes, 10 minutes? And you right there can believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, fulfill that commandment, come out of darkness, go into light, and start experiencing this joy that I'm telling you about. I, like Solomon, tried a lot of things the world has to offer. It's vanity out there. I, like Paul, have tried Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you what, this is not vanity. This is the real deal. It's good. Man, there's peace, there's joy, there's happiness, there's satisfaction, fulfillment, success, hope, assurance. I highly recommend Jesus Christ to you. Above all people. Heavenly Father, we're thankful today for the opportunity to find out how to have joy walking in the light. These things are so simple, Father. Just like John wrote them here, I pray that our folks will absolutely respond, whatever you're showing them to do in this message. I also pray for anybody here today that doesn't know Jesus Christ, that they would absolutely see it is a commandment to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and to be saved. And that they would obey you and trust you. All right, I have two questions while your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed. Here's the first question. Christian, addressing Christians, you have allowed some darkness in your life and you need to get back into that light. Is anybody here today, just where you are, everybody's heads are bowed, everybody's eyes are closed, only one looking is Randy, he's helping me. Anybody here today, slip your hand up right now, slip it right back down, say, preacher, I've been too close to the darkness, please pray for me, I'm coming back into that light, thank you. Anybody, yep. Yes, sir. See that. Anybody else? Let me pray for you right now. Father, you've seen the hands of these that were raised. All that darkness is engulfing. And it kills the joy, just like it kills the light. I'm asking you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for every person that was brave enough to raise a hand. They didn't have to offer any explanation. I don't even want to know. All I know is this, Father. You've helped them today with the words of God. You've given them instruction and reminded them of an area in their life, whether it was fellowship with Jesus or the believers or something with sin in their life or something with the world. You've reminded them that, of a tie they need to cut and a opportunity to get back into the fullness of that light and find the fullness of the joy that's in that light. I pray you will help them. Speak with them privately about those matters in the recesses of their own hearts and minds so that they can just be there with you this afternoon and get back into a wonderful, wonderful place. I ask you to do that for them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.